All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. I am Coach Lizzie, and today we are talking about self-care. Let me just promote Coach Mish. The amazing and fabulous Coach Mish is going to be in the chat helping you out. And this is a Q&A. So please put your questions into the questions box, the Q&A box. If there's anything that comes up that you want to address in the meantime, Coach Misha is going to help you out in the chat. And let's get started, right? Isn't this exciting? We're talking about self-care today, which is like the most exciting topic ever, right? Well, I'm going to convince you that you're going to actually love self-care because not only is self-care not selfish, but it also helps you lose weight. Yes, we are going to be talking about how self-care helps you lose weight. But first, a couple of quick little mini announcements. So we are wrapping up February, which is our month of love and how you can love yourself towards weight loss. Because let me tell you, like you cannot beat yourself and punish yourself to a better choice, to a lower weight. Like it's not going to last. It's not going to work. So loving yourself is the way to lose the weight and keep it off. We've got one more kind of webinar meeting coaching call this week, which is Friday, which also happens to be hosted by moi. So if you want to plan your way down the scale, wrap up February and plan your way towards March, come join me on Friday. And next week, excuse me, next month is all about journaling made easy. I gotta tell you, probably the best camp that I have attended was the Think It, Ink It, Shrink It camp on journaling. It was full of so many amazing nuggets. And next month, we are distilling down all of those great nuggets into our month-long challenge and theme. So we've got some micro journaling challenges. We've got, of course, the Q&As with MJ every Wednesday. There's a guided journal. And I'm even going to be talking a little bit about how journaling can be a form of self-care and how journaling can help you lose weight in this call today. So, all right, let's get kicking, right? As I said, as we go along, please type your questions into the Q&A so we can kind of have a little bit of dialogue here rather than a one-hour monologue. All right, so why self-care isn't selfish? First of all, give me an emoji if already today you have put off something for yourself in order to take care of something or someone else. Just give me kind of a show of a hands or an emoji. Yeah, we got some hearts, we got some thumbs up. Me too. I've done that too. And first of all, like that's not always a problem. Like sometimes it's a proactive choice you make. Like for example, I put off doing something for myself so that I could make lunch for my kids. And yes, they're old enough they could make it for themselves, but I wanted to let them sleep, and that is a proactive choice I make. And we are all no BS women here, and so you get to make choices and you get to like your reasons. However, sometimes we're telling ourselves a BS story about, doing things for ourselves, and that can end up hurting ourselves in the long run and can absolutely lead to hurting our weight loss efforts. So, for example, you might be telling yourself, like, I'll take care of myself or my things after everything else is done. Or maybe you think, I kind of feel guilty for taking time for me. We're definitely going to address that today. Or maybe this is a fun one. You think, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will. So, there's almost like the martyr story of like, ugh. No one else is doing it, so I got to get this damn thing done. So when we tell ourselves that story, we end up feeling, of course, at the bottom of our to-do list. That feels lousy. And that ends up, when we feel lousy, we end up turning to food to solve those lousy feelings. So I want to talk to you today about how self-care is not a nice to have. It's not a luxury. It's not about, pedicures and bubble baths and massages, though those can absolutely count. Self-care is about a necessity. It's like water and sleep. It is not a luxury. It is a necessity, and it is not selfish. When you show up for yourself, you show up better for the people in your life. All right. So, really, one quick aside. Sometimes we can get tripped up with the words self-care. There's a lot that's kind of going around a lot lately. It definitely shows up in Instagram memes. And so you may get a little prickly with the thought of self-care, and that is totally okay. I want you to think of this as nurturing. This is self-nurturing, how you nurture yourself. You nurture the people in your family. You nurture your pets. We're nurturing you as well today. That's what we're talking about here when we talk about self-care. So when I use the word self-care, I want you to think of it in terms of nurturing yourself. So if there's nothing else that you take away from today's call, I want you to remember this. If you don't make time for self-care, for nurturing yourself, you will end up using food to cope. And so if you want to lose weight and you want to keep it off, you want it to last, then you have got to figure out a way to allow yourself to take care of you. And not just take care of you, but take care of you first. Because then you get to show up for yourself and for the others in your life even better. It's not selfish, it's a necessity. So let's do a little kind of background. Like, why is this even such an issue at all? Well, because of lots of societal conditioning and how we are kind of raised in this world as women. It probably affects men as well, but like let's face it, like we get all of lots of kind of bullshit stories as women because we learn whether from what we viewed in our homes when we were young, whether we view from media, from movies, stories, et cetera. We are taught that sacrifice equals worthiness. So that we have to like prove our value by giving, 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 doing, 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 doing. And so we're taught that as like, if you're going to be worthy, you need to sacrifice for others. You need to put others first. There's perhaps some religious teachings that you learned as a young person as well. And many people, especially women, were conditioned to prioritize other needs before ourselves. That's considered godliness, or that's considered to be a good wife or a good mom, or even in school, we're told like be quiet and behave. And so we're taught to negate our desires in favor of what somebody else wants. And so this is why we feel guilty when we even think about prioritizing ourselves, because we end up thinking that if I prioritize myself, then I'm being selfish. I'm kind of going against the grain of what I have been taught my entire life. And because we are social creatures, we want to fit in with the tribe, with the norms of the tribe. And if the norms of the tribe tell us put everyone else's needs first, and that's the way that you're going to fit in and serve your role, then it's really hard to go against the grain, against that grain. But if we don't care for ourselves, we burn out. And we get a little side dish of resentment on top of that as well. And that kind of festers and boils and burns. And we're like, I just can't handle these feelings. And what do? We go to the pantry, we go to the fridge, we go to the drive-thru. And so that's why this is so important that if you want to help yourself lose weight and keep it off, you've got to learn how to nurture yourself first. And it's okay to go a little bit against the grain because I'm going to show you how nurturing yourself first actually helps you be better for those people in your life. Another reason why this can be a challenge for us is because we have this thought of like, I need to handle everything myself. Oh man, does this one resonate for me? Especially as a military spouse, where my husband was gone for many months at a time. I took on the superhero role in my brain of like, I can handle it. If the dishwasher is broken, I can get it fixed. If the kids are crying, I can handle it. Like, honey, you go serve our country. I'll handle the rest of things all by myself. Ugh. And then you struggle to ask for help. You struggle to receive help. And then you carry the world on your shoulders, and you're like crawling on your hands and knees, metaphorically, of like, no, I've got it. It's okay. And that doesn't help anybody because you're wearing yourself down and you're constantly giving, and you feel like, in order to be of value, in order to earn my keep, so to speak, I've got to do and do and do and do and make everything okay for everybody else. And then we end up being, like I said, on our hands and knees. exhausted, and we're no good for nobody, especially ourselves. And so sometimes if that resonates for you, go ahead and give me an emoji if that resonates for you, where you're like, I'll take care of everything for everyone else. But yeah, like I want to make sure everyone else is their life is smooth sailing because I'm going to be running around taking care of it. Yeah, here we go. Lots of thumbs up. So what I want to say for that is that even though, trust me, I feel you, sister, asking for help is hard. It feels uncomfortable. But when you ask for help, not only are you allowing that other person to feel good, but you give a gift to someone else by receiving help, by letting somebody else help. In addition, let's say it's your kids that you're saying, like, I could ask them for help. You're empowering that person. Maybe it's your spouse too. You are empowering that person to own some of their own care. And that is amazing too. Like, we don't want to raise children that like don't know how to care for themselves. So when you don't always handle everything, that can be a wonderful thing because you allow other people to feel useful and you empower them to learn how to do it for themselves. And then the last thing of like why this is even an issue for us is that sometimes we overown responsibility for other people in our lives. Whether we're owning their feelings, we're owning their tasks, we want to make everybody happy, we want to fix things for them, and that leads to emotional exhaustion. It's funny, like there was a time where I was working at a different company, obviously, and I was a manager, and this is well before life coaching in my life, and I look back now and I'm like, oh my God, Lizzie, just wow. So I was a manager. And I was talking to one of my direct reports, and she was telling me the things that were on her plate, and she was feeling a little busy. And meanwhile, my plate is overflowing. But as my direct report is telling me what's on her plate, she's feeling busy. I was like, do you want me to take care of that for you? And she almost looked at me like, what? No. I was like, now that I think about it from the flip side, her boss was telling her, hey, I don't think you can do your job, so I'll do it for you. And where I was coming from was like, I didn't want it to be a burden for her. And so I was overowning all over the place. I was overowning someone else's to-do list, their feelings, and I was completely burned out. Right? Anyone else ever felt that way? Like when, let's say someone is upset in your household, it must be my fault. If someone's having a bad day, I gotta fix it. And sometimes we do that, we overown other people's feelings. And so self-care is recognizing that sometimes having boundaries around what is yours to own and what is not is healthy. It's that you are responsible for you first, and you are not responsible for other people's feelings. You are not responsible for other people's actions. You don't have to like their feelings or their reactions, but you don't have to own them either. And so sometimes, like separating from that and creating a little bit of boundary of like, my husband is pissed off about something, but I don't have to like it, but I don't have to own it either. That can mean like loving that person without carrying their baggage for them. And so we need to learn how to let other people handle their own emotions without feeling like we have to fix everything. Because when we have to fix everything, we disempower the people in our lives and we end up burned out and eating and, face down in the Ben and Jerry's at the same time. Okay. So, as a consequence, when we don't take care of ourselves, when we don't prioritize ourselves, we're more likely to turn to food for comfort. We have lower energy, we have less self-control. I mean, think of it like putting gas in your car. If you're always running on empty, pretty soon you're going to have a breakdown in the middle of like fuck it foods road. With no cell service and not able to call AAA. Like, that's what happens when we don't take time to take care of ourselves. We are heading straight for a breakdown on Fuck It Foods Road worksheet. Wait, no. I'm so used to saying Fuck It Foods worksheet. We're heading for a breakdown on Fuck It Foods Road. And so, same kind of thing. Like, when we're trying to overown other people's feelings, it's like we're cleaning everyone else's house while our house is falling apart. So here's a question I want you to think about. I want you to even write this down. Who would benefit if you were fully rested? Who would benefit if you were fully present? So, like you would, but also the people in your life, your spouse, your kids, your people at your friends at work. You know, if you're taking care of aging parents, which, amen, sister, God bless you. If you're doing that, that is hard and it is draining. And it's like there is no end to that well. And that is when it is even more important for you to take care of yourself, because when you are able to have a little bit of a boundary and prioritize yourself, then you can show up for your parents who are struggling. Okay, so let's transition. I want to again kind of invite you to type some questions into the Q&A so we can have a dialogue when we get this, when I get through all my stuff I got to talk about or get to talk about. So, any questions you have, type into the Q&A. But let's talk about tangible, specific, actionable ways that caring for yourself, self-care, nurturing, etc., directly leads to weight loss. Because that's what we're here for, right? Like, self-care is nice, it's not selfish, it's good, but like, tell me how to lose weight, how I can lose weight using self-care. Because a lot of times we think, yes, self-care is important. I'm going to put it on my to-do list at the bottom. But if we could rearrange that thought and be like, wait a second, self-care is a weight loss tool. It's like water. It's like sleep. It is one of the things that helps me lose weight. Then maybe your ears are perking up. Maybe your antenna is like, oh, wait, how do I do this again? So let's talk about that. So, number one, when you're exhausted, your brain is screaming, I need energy now. It's saying, not only do I need energy now, but I want foods that are high in energy. And our brains know that foods high in sugar, salt, and fat, they pack a punch. They've got lots of energy in small packages. So guess what? How also happens when you're exhausted? Your cravings go up. So your cravings are going up for foods high in sugar, salt, and fat. And also your resources are low. So your survival brain is basically at the wheel. And that is the part of you that is impulsive, that is like, give me something now, that is not your long-term thinking brain. And so when you take time to care for yourself, you get rest, you drink your water, you take a break from work, that allows you to make better food choices. And when you're, let's say you're getting sleep, that's one of your ways of self-care. Going to bed 15 minutes earlier, that's an action of self-care. When you do that, it helps you actually want a better, best food tomorrow instead of just the good stuff. It helps you actually want to show up for yourself and make a plan. And so that can help you set yourself up for success. Another way that self-care can lead to weight loss is if you're never taking any time for yourself, you're never taking any breaks, then guess what? Food becomes your break. Food becomes your only way to escape. You've got like this pressure cooker going in your brain all day, and your brain is like, I need a release. And if you're not giving it the release, it will say, I will force you to have one by turning to food. So taking a break means you're not running to the pantry for relief. Whether it's like a 5-minute walk, a deep breath, we're going to talk about some specific types of things you can do for self-care later on in the in our chat. But if you take a 5-minute walk, take some deep breaths, listen to some music, whatever it is, that is helping you avoid going to the Oreos as your emotional support system. So that is another way that self-care directly leads to weight loss. Here's another thought. So how many times have you found yourself going through the drive-through or maybe like rolling through the gas station for just a little something because I was so busy today, so I'll just grab whatever. Right? Self-care allows you to have just a little bit more of a plan, a little bit more of a thought that, like, when you get too busy, you already know what to do because you have thought ahead for that. You've got your resources set up so that you have a plan, you have some rest. You don't need just a quickie something through the drive-through to help keep you going. Because when you are overloading your schedule, you don't have time. But when you stop overloading your schedule, when you give yourself a chance to have a break, then you have time to plan your meals and you slow down and you plan food that you actually like rather than just whatever's convenient. And I have, plenty of us have like either busy jobs or busy home life, et cetera. And sometimes life goes sideways. It absolutely, like, that's normal. It's normal for the kids to be like, mommy, 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 mommy. And you're like, I can't even. That's what protocols are for. We can have a plan right now for like on those days when life just went sideways, here's what we're going to do instead. You don't have to always wait for the last minute. So that's another example of how self-care can help you lose weight. So more examples. When you're feeling stressed, your brain is going to crave quick pleasure. Hello, drive-through, right? And so stress, more stress means more desire for quick pleasure. And so self-care lowers your baseline level of stress. It also enables you to be more resilient to handle the stress. And then again, that's going to help you have less, fuck it eating. You're filling up your gas tank so that when you see the turnoff for fuck it foods road, you're like, you know what? Actually, I think I can make it to the next gas station. I think I'm going to be okay. Taking care of you helps keep stress from running your life and your food choices. Earlier we talked about like owning other people's stuff and their emotions. And again, sometimes you will take care of someone else and you like your reasons. That's totally okay. That is part of how we have families and societies. But sometimes when we overdo it, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. And so saying no to owning someone else's emotions or owning someone else's tasks and obligations in the house, whether maybe it's just like taking out the trash. But when you say no to that, that gives you more time for you. When you stop overcommitting, when you stop people pleasing, or at least let's be honest, when you people please a little less, you actually have time for your own needs, like moving your body, like eating food that makes you feel good, or at least doesn't make you feel like crap. So that's how it helps you lose weight. When you stop owning everything for everyone else, you have a little bit more space for you. Here's another way that self-care leads to weight loss. So have you ever found yourself like doing a pantry drive-by at like 3:27 being like, what am I in the mood for? Just standing in front of the fridge wondering like, what do I want? What you want is to go outside. What your brain wants is a break. When you give yourself a break, it helps clear your head and it helps keep you from snacking out of boredom. And it helps you realize I'm not hungry. I just needed a break. So the big takeaway here is that if you don't take time to care for you, you're going to end up turning to food to do it. So take the time to care for you to help you lose weight. All right, I got more stuff, but we're going to do a couple of questions. So Carlota says, what if I have trust issues? I've had lots of instances in my life when I have asked for help but not received it. My father had drinking problems and my mother was mentally ill. I really want to validate that, Carlotta. That's really challenging. That was hard situations. And so it makes a lot of sense that your brain would feel like I can't trust people because that's what you learned as a young person, given your parents' situation. And so I would say, where are the places where I can trust? Well, maybe it's you just start with yourself. I can trust myself to carve out a little piece of my day to take care of me. If you're not feeling like it's safe to ask someone else to help take care of something, start with you. Where can I trust myself to say, I'm going to do this one small thing to take care of me first? And so that can help you kind of build a little bit of trust with yourself. And then see if there are people in your life that you can ask them to take on things for help. But maybe that's even a bridge too far. Maybe it's less about asking for help, and maybe it's more about not owning someone else's baggage, someone else's emotions, and so forth. I was telling a private client just the other day that like I have learned. Like back in the day, if someone was upset, like if my husband was frustrated about something, did not matter what was going on, I assumed it was my fault. And I definitely assumed it was my responsibility to fix it. And through life coaching, I have begun to realize that like his emotions are his responsibility. My emotions are my responsibility. If I've done something that has made him upset, like if I'm actively involved in his upset, which of course, like let's be honest, that's never the case. Like he's never upset with me. But If it's my thing to own or be responsible for, I can say sorry, but I don't have to own the way he reacts or the way he makes it mean. So, Carlotta, I want to honor your experience. It makes so much sense that your brain is like, I can't trust people. And so I would start with you. What can I trust myself to do to take care of me and nurture me? And then the second thing would be if it's an issue for you where you own other people's emotions, see where you can kind of like stay on your side of the street and let them be responsible for their feelings. All right. Barb says, a lot of times I have too much time on my hands and I waste it. I'm overwhelmed by all the things that need to be done, so I do nothing. I seem to eat to avoid doing things I don't want to do. And then I eat at night out of frustration and disappointment that I let the day go again without getting anything done. What are your thoughts? Barb, I think that you are speaking to a lot of people who resonate with what you're saying. And so it can be interesting. Actually, there was somebody within the Goals Mastery program who was saying this, that she's got a lot of time on her hands and she finds herself sort of fritting it away on social media and that type of thing. And so I would always start small. I would encourage you to say, like, what are the things that you want to get done? And how can you almost gamify it for yourself? We call it in Goals Mastery, we could call it atomic habiting. So it's like, before I fill in the blank of the something that you already do, regularly each day, before I do that, I will do one small thing that needs to get done. Either pick the smallest thing, the easiest thing, or the most important thing. Just pick one. For example, before I drink my coffee each day, I will do one load of laundry. But you know what? We're talking about self-care, so laundry doesn't count. Before I drink my coffee each day, I will place my hand on my heart and say, I'm doing my best today. Before I drink my coffee, I will take five big, deep cleansing breaths. That's an example of how you can kind of get some self-care in. But you're saying, Barb, that you end up eating out of frustration at night because you're disappointed. So you're thinking more about like organization and getting stuff done. If there's stuff to get done, gamify it for yourself. Before I eat lunch, I will fill in the blank of something that gets done. After I do that thing that gets done, then I get to eat lunch. Before I scroll on social media, I will do XYZ. Once I get do XYZ, then I get to reward myself by scrolling on social media. So that can hopefully help you feel more accomplished and less frustrated and disappointed at the end of the day. But Barbara, I also want to say, let's say you do have a day where you don't get the things done that you wanted to get done. And so it's a night where you're feeling frustrated and disappointed with yourself. That also is a moment and an opportunity for self-care. So here's a tip I would offer you in those moments. Use the words, even though. So the words, even though, help you acknowledge the sucky feeling that you're feeling while also not staying in that sucky feeling. For example, even though I didn't get much done today, I showed up for myself by taking some rest. Even though I didn't get the things done that I wanted to get to do today, I still have 5 minutes that I could do one small thing. Or even though I'm disappointed that I didn't get lots of stuff done today, I know I can do one thing to care for myself right now, which is take several deep breaths or stand up and walk around the room. I can take care of me today, even though I didn't take care of those tasks on the to-do list. So the words, even though, help you acknowledge, I'm a little disappointed, but you don't have to stay in that feeling. It's like, and now what can I do? So top tips there, Barb. I would say gamify your to-do list. I would say make time to take care of yourself. And if you happen to have a day where you are feeling frustrated and disappointed at night, that's a moment of self-care as well. Even though I'm disappointed, here's what I can do. All right. And then we've also got Chris says, what are some good questions to ask ourselves to interrupt the habit of soothing with food? Like, can I just? That was a life changer. Looking for other ideas to stop soothing with food. Yeah, Chris, great idea. Do I like my reasons? That's a good one. So even you could be midway through the bag of Doritos and be like, do I like my reasons for finishing this bag? You could ask yourself, what else could help me with this? So this is a really interesting question, Chris, because sometimes some of that self-care that I'm going to talk about are ways to, they're like tools in addition to food. So a lot of us are using only food to soothe ourselves. And what I'd like you to do is use food plus some self-care so that now instead of, 100% food and 0% anything else, maybe you're doing 20% self-care and 80% food. And as you get more practice with that, maybe you'll start using 40% self-care and 60% food. And what do you know? If you're now eating 60% of the stuff that you were eating before, maybe that'd help us lose weight. So, Chris, when you're asking, like, what are some additional questions I can ask myself? I would say, how can I nurture myself today? What else would feel nurturing in this moment in addition to food? You could even say instead of food, but like, let's see where your lower brain is in that moment. So, do I like my reasons? But also, like, what else would feel nurturing to me today? And I would encourage you to think about some proactive ways to bring in self-care, which we're going to talk about, so that when you find yourself in the habit of wanting to soothe for food, you're also getting into the habit of soothing with things other than food at the same time. All right, great questions, y'all. Keep them coming. Okie dokie. So let's talk about some of the most common objections we have when it comes to self-care, because we're like, self-care is selfish, or there's so many other things to do. So let's talk about those common objections, how those objections lead to weight gain, and how self-care can actually help us lose weight instead. All right. So number one, self-care feels selfish. I feel guilty. Give me an emoji if you've ever felt guilty for doing self-care. I'm raising my hand here for sure. I have so this so resonates for me. And so it's you're not alone. If you feel guilty prioritizing yourself, then what ends up happening is you put everyone else first. And where does that lead us? Feeling exhausted. And when you're feeling exhausted and emotionally depleted, what do you turn to feel better? Food. It's my escape. It's my reward. I've been so good. I deserve it, right? That's when I deserve it thoughts come up. When you're putting everybody first, when you're like, it's guilty for me. Excuse me. I feel guilty for taking care of me. You end up saying, I deserve it later. You end up eating later. So instead of feeling guilty for doing something for yourself, you can say, doing for something for myself helps me lose weight. Here's how. Because taking care of yourself makes you a better partner. It makes you a better parent. It makes you a better friend because you have more energy. You have more patience. Oh, patience, right? We can all use a dab of that. And you also learn to meet some of your emotional needs in ways other than food. Like just a minute ago, I was talking about 100% food, 0% self-care. If we just change that ratio just a little bit, that's going to lead to weight loss. So you can't give your best to others if you're running on empty. So if you're feeling guilty for taking care of yourself, you can flip that by saying, I am better at taking care of others when I take care of me. Okay. Actually, this is a quote from Corinne in the No BS lesson. She says, when you neglect taking care of yourself, you're sending the message to your brain that you don't matter as much as everything and everyone else going on in your life. So that hits deep, right? Like when you're putting everybody else first, you're showing your brain that you don't matter as much. And if you don't matter as much, then you don't matter enough to take care of yourself. You don't matter enough to take care of your body, and hence we end up gaining weight. So self-care leads to weight loss. Instead of feeling guilty, tell yourself, I'm showing up better for the people in my life, including me, by taking care of me. All right. Quick water break here. Another objection we often hear to self-care is like, well, I should be doing something more productive. Ooh, right? That one hits home. I should be doing something. This is a waste of time. Ah, isn't it crazy how like we almost like we gauge our worthiness, our value based on how much we got done today. And it's like there's a score sheet each day. And the more I do, the more points I get. And each day, the score sheet starts again at zero. That sucks, huh? Well, let's talk about how when you buy into the thought, I should be doing something more productive, that leads to weight gain. Because when you're at the bottom of your list, so I need to take care of everyone and I need to own their feelings. And then I also need to unload the dishwasher and I need to make dinner and I need to drive the kids to the, I need to get something done. You are at the bottom of your list and then you end up burnt out. And when we're burnt out, that leads to emotional eating and leads to decision fatigue, which means we don't have the resources to be like, do I want my food that I plan for myself or do I want to just fuck it and go through the drive-through? So when you set, tell yourself, I should be doing something more productive, again, you're driving towards fuck it foods lane and on an empty tank. That's not helping you. So instead, when you prioritize yourself, when you take time to say, I can sit here and rest, and that in itself is productivity. Rest is productive. Y'all, write it on your mirror in magic marker. Rest equals productive. Rest equals useful. Because, oh, here's the next thing I want you to write. Rest equals weight loss. Because when you're resting, you're giving yourself the chance to make long-term decisions, healthier decisions, emotionally balanced decisions, better food choices. You give yourself the chance to move more and you stop stress eating. So rest really is important. Rest and caring for yourself gives you a chance to be more resourced and valued so you can show up for you and for others. So if you ever have had the thought, I need to be more productive, girl, get out your magic marker and write it on your mirror saying, rest equals productive. Rest equals weight loss. Okay, next objection. I'll do it when things calm down. Yeah, I get that. Life is busy. And you got legit stuff going on. You've got kids, you've got aging parents, you've got work demands. It's hard. Like, I don't want to dismiss that. That really is for real. However, if you are telling yourself, I will take care of me when things slow down, I got a spoiler for you. It's not happening. When does life actually slow down? Right? And trust me, like I have been so guilty of this, particularly like with my schedule, with things coming up with no BS or travel or whatever. Like if I can just get through September, then things will slow down. And then it was January and now it's April. And I keep telling myself this story and like the treadmill keeps going. So really, does life ever actually slow down? Or is it just, my mom used to say, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's a tunnel at the end of the tunnel, which is, can be kind of depressing. But if you're realistic with yourself, instead of saying life will be different, but it won't be slower, then you can kind of have a realistic view of what actually the treadmill of your life looks like and be like, I'm not going to tell myself that lie anymore, that I'm going to finally take care of me when life slows down, because it doesn't. Life doesn't slow down. It changes, but it doesn't get slower. And so don't wait for the perfect time that you now have space to take care of yourself, that you now have space to get in that exercise, that you now have the time and the energy to meditate or, I don't know, to go for a walk. Don't tell yourself that lie because life doesn't slow down and constant stress keeps our cortisol levels high, which increases our cravings for sugar and carbs and all the things. Not that those are bad, but it increases our cravings and we end up stress eating. And of course, then that leads to weight gain. And so telling yourself the truth that life is busy, there is no slowdown that's coming to save me. I got to figure out a way to care for myself today in my current life, in my current very busy, very hectic schedule. I got to figure this shit out. Because that's going to help you lose weight, because that's going to lower your cortisol stress levels. That's going to help you build some habits. And that's going to help you reduce your stress so that you're no longer, driving past the pantry just to take a break. Whew, on fire here now. Okay. Another objection we hear, I don't have time, which is very similar to when life will slow down, is when I'll finally, I'll finally take time to care for myself. So if you've heard yourself say, I'm going to finally take care of myself when life slows down, or I don't have time, Well, let's think about it. I don't have time directly leads to weight gain this way. Because if you're constantly rushing, you're constantly overwhelmed. And if you're constantly rushing and overwhelmed, you're constantly being reactive in your food choices. You're grab-assing. You're heading through the drive-through. You're binging at night. And so if you're telling yourself, I don't have time, you are also telling yourself, I am setting myself up for the drive-through. I'm setting myself for a reactive food choice. So instead of telling yourself, I don't have time, tell yourself, I don't have time not to. It's if here's a quote from Corinne from the No BS Lessons. She says, if you don't make the time now, your body and your brain are going to make time for you later, whether you like it or not. Because burnout, illness, overwhelm, these are consequences of neglecting yourself. And even just taking 5 minutes to pause, to take a breath, that is an act of self-care. We're going to talk in just a minute about the different kinds of like micro moments, quickie moments, and big ass self-care. So we're going to talk about those things in just a bit. Here's a couple others. Let me grab this question real quick. We've got Anonymous says, I find that I have way too much time on my hands. I raised seven children, God bless you. And now even their children are growing up, and I find I'm not needed anymore. I sit around all day long with doing nothing. I need more motivation. How does that work with self-care? I hear what you're saying. It can feel really good to feel needed. And that can feel like you have value. And I would also encourage you to look at that and be like, is that the only thing that gives me value? And if that is what helps you feel motivated, we can talk about how to do that. But also, like, I had a conversation with a client recently who felt like her kids were getting older and didn't need her anymore. And so she was like, she was constantly giving advice because she wanted to feel needed. And I said, well, how does that feel? Like, imagine, was there anybody in your life who was constantly giving you advice and telling you what to do? And she's like, oh yeah, my mother did that to me. I said, and did you like that? She said, no, not at all. I said, well, what would you have wanted from your mom in that moment? And she said, I would have wanted mom to just listen and be present. And I said, and how would you have felt like you valued mom if she was just present and listened? She was like, yeah. And I said, okay, so you can flip that to your kids. You don't have to do things for them. You don't have to give them advice. You can be present for them, and that is valuable. Your presence, your you-ness is valuable. However, for Anonymous, who you're speaking that like I sit around all day long doing nothing, if you need motivation, maybe there's an opportunity to volunteer. Maybe there's an opportunity to offer the care and the wealth of you-ness and value that you have just by being present to others who could be in need. If your children are busy doing things, if your grandchildren are busy doing other things, maybe that's an opportunity to help you feel that sense of value by being needed while also offering to others and kind of keeping your time busy. So that's a thought for you, Anonymous. Kim also said something similar. Life has totally slowed down. Children are now responsible adults. Aging parents have moved south with my sister. I have an 8 to 5, very low stress job, and my time is my own. I struggle with figuring out what is self-care and figuring out what I want to do with my free time. So, Kim and Anonymous, you're talking a little bit as well about boredom. Boredom can be a really tough thing. I used to think that like boredom eating was a stupid reason to eat. And then I learned that the brain registers boredom like next door neighbors to the same area where the brain registers physical pain, which effectively translates to the brain really, 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 really does not like to be bored. And so we will find ways to not be bored, and food is absolutely one. And so if you find yourself that you're feeling bored and that you're eating out of boredom, number one, tell yourself the truth. I'm not hungry, I'm bored. Number two, what is it that you can do to help yourself feel less bored, feel more engaged? There's all kinds of things that you can do that can help you kind of get interested in a hobby, get interested in doing something for others, in a community thing, all kinds of things. But Kim specifically said, I struggle with figuring out what self-care is and figuring out what I want to do with my free time. I would start, Kim, with a walk. Maybe it's cold where you are, the weather's not great. Can you walk in your home? Can you go to a gym? What are some ways that you can care for yourself that feel nurturing? Every person's different. Maybe a walk doesn't feel nurturing. Maybe sitting down to read a book for fun. Maybe knitting. Maybe writing an old-fashioned letter to a friend. Reaching out to somebody. That can be something that could help you feel like this is nurturing to me. So, going back to one of the questions that was asked earlier, like, what are some questions you can ask yourself? Ask yourself, what feels nurturing to me today? And the beauty of that question is, it can vary depending on the day. It doesn't have to be like, I will work out 4 days a week. It's more like, what feels nurturing to me today? Does a workout feel nurturing? Or does coloring in an adult coloring book feel nurturing? Any answer can depend on how you show up in the day. Okay. If we have time, I may circle back to some other of our objections. Oh, there is one I definitely want to get to. All right. One more objection, and then we're going to talk about examples of self-care. So one more objection is people will judge me if I am taking care of myself. Ooh. Is that kind of hits a little close to home. I gotta be honest. Like people, what will people think? And what's interesting about that is that we are projecting thoughts into other people's brains, which would be really cool if we could actually read minds, maybe. But let's be honest, when you think people will judge me because I'm taking care of myself, you're actually just projecting onto them what you think of you. And what's interesting is this can actually even turn in the opposite way that sometimes we judge other people for taking care of themselves. Like, have you ever looked at, somebody who is walking around in her yoga pants and her jog bra, and she's got the great sweet figure, and you kind of like, ugh, you sort of judge her a little bit. I am totally raising my hand on this one, calling it out. Like, yeah, I have judgy thoughts. Guess what? People do. It's gonna happen. We are human beings. It is in our DNA to judge. So if you are worried about other people judging you, how they will perceive you, let's own it. Yep, they're judging you. So what? Do you want what is happening between their ears to influence how you take care of yourself and how you gain weight or lose weight? Is that a choice you want to make? Do you like your reasons for that? Because if we are constantly making choices based on someone else's approval, which by the way is made up anyway, since we're projecting their thoughts, then you're constantly on this cycle, never-ending cycle of people-pleasing, which leads to stress eating, which leads to ignoring your needs, which leads to weight gain. So if you want to lose weight, stop worrying about, well, I was going to say stop worrying about what other people think, but let's be honest, we're human beings that is built into our DNA. We're going to worry about what other people think. Acknowledge you care about what other people think, and you also are not going to let it get in the way of your weight loss. Let go of their expectations and choose what you want to choose for you, because you cannot control what other people think. Acknowledge that you matter. You don't need someone else's approval to do so. Okay. So overall, when you take care of yourself, you show up better for others in your life. So it's not selfish. You're taking better care of them when you take care of you. You're not running on empty. Who benefits when you take care of you? The answer is everyone. Also, by the way, don't think of it as it's me or them. Like, you don't want to get to the point where you're totally burned out and you're like, screw you people, I'm out of here. I'm going for a massage and a pedicure. Don't do that. Instead, think of it as me and them. When I take care of me, I'm doing so that I can be a better mom, so that I can be a better wife. I take care of me so that I can be better for them. It's me and them, not me or them. When you rest, you're less likely to overeat. You reduce your stress, so you're less likely to use food to numb out. When you prioritize you show up better for your family. Like, y'all, there's all good things here, including weight loss, when you take care of yourself. Because when you're exhausted and overwhelmed and burned out, food becomes your coping mechanism. So self-care, nurturing yourself, regulating your emotions is something you do for you, for the people you care about, and for your weight loss. Self-care ain't selfish. It's an act of service to yourself and to others. All right. Here we go. Three levels of self-care. We've got our micro moments, our quickie moments, and then our big ass self-care. So micro moments are like 5 minutes, no time effort required, really, of ways that you can nurture and self-care, take care of yourself. So think of it as like putting these micro moments are like putting drops of water in a glass. It's like it doesn't seem like much, but over time, if you consistently add some waters in the glass, like you're gonna start to fill up the glass. And so consistent moments of self-care prevent emotional burnout. And by the way, you don't have to earn your self-care. You can claim it in little moments like this. Here's a quote from Corinne. She says, "Self-care is fuel that lasts longer than a few bites of food." Ain't that good? All right, here's some examples of micro moments of self-care. So take a hell no breath. You're like, what? We say yes to so many things, right? It's like a knee-jerk, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I can take care of that. Pick me. Instead, I want you to take a hell no breath, meaning before you say yes to something that you don't want to do, take a breath and say, do I even want to do this? Practice saying no without guilt. Other things that you can do in micro moments is you can delete one toxic thing off your phone. Unfollow somebody, delete that food delivery app, clear a notification that makes your stress skyrocket. Takes no time at all, but it lowers your stress levels. This one made me think of Corinne because of her cats. Take a minute to stand up and stretch like a cat. So like the big wide stretch. That took like 2 seconds, and I already feel better. So a lot of times we're sitting all day, and so if you're hunched and you're like kind of like a goblin all day, like roll your shoulders back, stretch your arms, be like, oh, and then you can like rub your jaw a little bit. Roll those shoulders. Let your shoulders drop. Like it takes no time at all. This is an act of self-care. Sip your water. Not only that, sip your water like it is the $10, super fancy bottled water. Be like, Right? That's just a minute of self-care. So, quit treating your body like a cactus. Have water. And by the way, water, as we know, helps you lose weight because most of the time we're not actually hungry, we're dehydrated. So when you drink water like it's super fancy and like you're giving yourself an act of self-care, that means fewer snacks, that means fewer trips to the kitchen, that means weight loss. Another micro moment, change your clothes, put on something nice. You don't have to wear the jeans that feel uncomfortable. You don't have to wear the, floppy sweats that make you feel kind of like I'm wearing my pajamas all day. Wear something that makes you feel good. It is such a gift to yourself to let your body feel good in your clothes. Because when you wear clothes that you don't like, that is a moment by moment, second by second reminder of like, ugh, I don't feel good. And so it is an act of self-care to wear clothes that help you feel good. Another micro moment, say one nice thing to yourself. Even if it's just, I'm doing my best. And then you can, another couple of ideas. We're just going to run off a bunch here. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Listen to your favorite song or a good song. Music is a great way to adjust your state. Put on some lotion, so anything like that. Okay, quickie moments of self-care. So this is like 10 minutes worth. These are small, intentional breaks that you are giving to yourself. This is a gift to yourself. Why does this matter? Because self-care is not a waste of time. It is preventing burnout that leads to emotional eating. So think of it like your phone battery. You don't wait until your battery is at 1% to charge it. So self-care and quickie self-care moments like this is like plugging in your battery for a fast recharge before you crash. So here we go. You can take a walk, whether you're listening to something that you enjoy on your phone, like a podcast, Or you're, talking to a friend, take a walk, see the sky, get a little vitamin D. Another idea is you could lay down on the floor and put your legs up on the wall. This has like positive effects for your blood pressure. It reduces your stress, and you get to rest without being like, well, I'm doing nothing. It's like, no, I'm doing something. I'm helping my blood pressure. Sit in your car for 5 minutes before going inside, whether that's going inside to work or going inside to home after you get home. Take a minute. Breathe. Breathe. It's okay. Do a shitty mood check-in. I thought that this is really funny. If you're feeling off, just check in with yourself. And here's what I want you to do. Step one, what am I feeling? I'm feeling pissed off. Step two, I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to know why I'm feeling pissed off. That is an act of self-care. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to know why I'm allowed to feel pissed off. Easy self-care right there. You can laugh at something silly, TikTok video, something like that. You can do some, write down something you're feeling grateful for, read something that's fun, do a little dance party at home. Dancing can feel amazing. And now I got big ass self-care. This is like a 15 minutes worth. So this is kind of a little bit more obvious. This is blocking off some time for yourself, but it doesn't have to be huge. And remember, like, if you don't make time for yourself, your body will force you to take that time later. It will force you to take time through burnout and illness and exhaustion. So these big ass moments, which are really only like 15 or 20 minutes, help you not end up in the emergency room. They help you not end up face down in the Ben and Jerry's because you're completely exhausted. So here are some examples. Go for a little bit of a longer walk and call a friend. Or maybe be in complete silence and just listen to the birds. Sit down and eat, right? Don't actually eat standing up or in front of the television. Sit down, slow down. When you take a shower or dry your hair, pretend you're at the spa. Like, take a minute, take a beat to feel the gorgeousness of that hot water. Or, like, when you're blow drying your hair, feel the warmth of the air, which can feel so good right now if you're in a cold spot, a cold area of the world. Like, slow down and feel it. Smell the soap. But give yourself a spa day every day in the shower. Other more like big ass moments of self-care is move your body in a way that feels good, in a way that you like. Workouts are not meant to be punishment. Do the exercise or the movement because you like how it makes you feel. Plan something just for you. This is interesting. Somebody once challenged me, like, and this was kind of to a group, but if you had an extra $100 a month that you had to spend on yourself, this is a good question you should ask yourself. If you had an extra $100 a month, you had to spend it on yourself, what would you spend it on? And for me, my answer was easy. It was like, I would get a massage. And then I was like, well, why don't I do that? And so it took me some time, but then I was like, I'm going to invest this. I'm going to get a massage on a monthly basis. And I'm telling you, for the first 6 months, every time I drove to the massage, I felt guilty. I was like, oh, this is such an indulgence. And I like kind of smacked myself around. I was like, Lizzie, this is bullshit. This is you taking care of you. This isn't an indulgence. This is a necessity. This is you giving yourself a chance to recharge. And so that is big ass self-care. Book a massage. Go get some coffee by yourself with some quiet. Schedule some time for you. And make a to-don't list. Instead of a to-do list, make a list of things you're not going to do. Make a list of things that you can say no to and not feel guilty about it. I have totally gone way over. I want to talk to you real quick about journaling. So journaling can be an act of self-care. And all next month, we're going to talk about journaling. Journaling can lead to weight loss. And it does not have to be huge. It can be a sentence. It can be writing your plan. It can be just a few moments of like brain dumping your emotional stuff just to leave the emotional stuff on the paper rather than carrying it with you to the pantry. So, journaling helps you identify your emotional triggers. It helps you be aware of whether you're hungry or just eating out of habit. And it can also help you kind of negate some of your negative self-talk. So as we're moving into from self-love straight into journaling, they go hand in hand so beautifully. Journaling leads to weight loss. Self-care leads to weight loss. It's not selfish. It's a necessity. So here's what I want you to tell me. Let's make a Facebook post. I want to challenge you. If you had 100 extra bucks a month that you had to spend on yourself, what would you do? What would you choose to do without any guilt? All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for spending your time with me today. Go out there and take care of yourselves and help yourself lose weight at the same time. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Mish. I'll talk to you later. Bye.